Well, good morning, Messiah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you what, it's such an honor to be asked to share with you today. And I have I have so much joy for what God is doing here and what is taking place here for the glory of the Lord. Messiah has been a gift to me for the better part of 10 years. 10 years ago, I was introduced to Messiah because I became your worship and tech intern. And I lived in Chase's basement that time, and we had a blast. I still remember Nehemiah standing at the door, John! Yeah, anyway, that's an inside joke. And then a couple years ago, I served as your interim worship director as Chase was transitioning out and Natalie was transitioning in. And how else has Messiah impacted me? Oh, yeah, I married your senior pastor's daughter. And I got married in this very room. So you guys have been a gift for me, and I thank God for you. And it's been amazing, you know, being in and outside of this church to see what God has been doing here over the past 10 years. And I can tell you what, I've gotten to know your pastors here, and I can say you guys are blessed. They are incredible. They love you. Yes. And I can also look at your pastors and say, you guys are blessed. And God is glorified in that, absolutely. But what amazing opportunity it is to just be a little part of you guys walking through Romans together. What a cool experience it is as a church to do that. Romans is a book that the church leans heavily on to discern the rest of Scripture, as Romans continually points back to the very beginning where God created the entire world in Adam and Eve, and then it also points forward to the return of Christ and what God is going to do, raising the dead in resurrection to the new creation. And it also answers some of the most important questions of the faith that we have. And so all that to say, I know you guys are on this theme of summer strong. Be here, church. Walking through Romans together is incredible, and God has amazing things to show you as you walk through Romans together. And you guys are already on chapter 9. How I can't imagine the cool stuff that you have already dug into already, but God has a lot more to show you in the book of Romans. So be here, be here, be here, be here. And I watched Pastor Dustin's message last weekend. It was awesome. And walking through Romans 8 was some of the most loved passages in entire Scripture by many. Passages like Romans 8, verse 38. I'll throw it on the screen right now. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a victory cry of the church. Are you awake, church? Let's go. But as the apostle transitions out of chapter 8, into chapter 9, you can, if this was a musical, you can sense the music shift from this powerful anthem into maybe a more heartfelt, sad ballad as he talks about his brothers in Jerusalem. So if you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, verse 2, you'll see where Paul says this: I have great sorrow an unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. His heart breaks for his brothers in Jerusalem, who Christ came to, but they still rejected him. And his heart breaks for them. He's saying, if they only knew and believed, if they only knew the trust, the truth that I know, oh, what joy if they would only believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the only way to life, then they would have all the riches in Christ that I have. They would have all the riches in Christ that you have, church. But he acknowledges that the Jews who do not believe in Jerusalem, they're blinded, and it breaks their heart. Paul begins to list how God has pointed them to the coming of Christ, that God has given them the patriarchs like Abraham and Moses. He's given them covenants. He's given them the law. He's taught them how to worship. Christ himself came to the Jews in Jerusalem, and they did not receive him. And Paul is heartbroken that they still do not see that salvation and life is only through Jesus. They want to inherit the kingdom of God, yes, but they want to do it through their descendancy from Abraham, not any kind of faith. And if you read the Gospels, the first part of the New Testament in our Bibles, you pick up on this. The Jews are proud of their heritage. They are proud that God chose them to be his people through Abraham. They are proud that God called them to be apart from every nation a long time ago. And then Jesus, the true Savior of the world, comes on the scene and he says, I am greater than Abraham. He says, I and the Father are one. And Jesus is not only healing people, but he speaks for God to forgive them. He speaks as God to forgive them. And instead of receiving Christ, the Jews in Jerusalem seek to kill him instead. And we see that, how that plays out in Holy Week, where Jesus goes even to the cross. And the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter, he understands this, for he himself sought to destroy Christ. He sought to destroy the church. And then Jesus stops him and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my church? And then God and the Holy Spirit moved and worked to redeem Paul to not just be a believer, but to be an apostle. And as we read the text here, we see Paul's emotion spilling out over the page. I want you to see the intensity here as we see the apostle in anguish over his brothers who do not believe. It breaks his heart. But he uses it to teach the church about who God is. And in this teaching, the apostle wraps the whole section around one idea, and it's an idea that I know I struggle with, and it's an idea that I think you all struggle with. It's the radical idea that God does what he wants. Hold on. God does what he wants. What does that mean? You mean that God does things differently than I do? You mean that God might go about things differently than I might expect? You mean that God might work something good over the course of years rather than immediate satisfaction of what I want? You mean that God does things in life that don't make sense to me? You mean that God does things in the lives of others in which he owes me absolutely no explanation? Sometimes that's hard to sit with. It's really difficult because, God, I see what needs to be done. Why isn't it happening? Why haven't you done it yet? Sometimes you want something to happen so badly that our hearts are in anguish like Paul's. Those things that we take to prayer and we lay them before the throne of God and we pray courageous prayers. But at the end of the day, we have to say, Jesus, you are Lord and I am not. But do not lose heart, church, because this text reveals something amazing as well. That God does what he wants and his heart is to save. God's beautiful heart is to save. And in his mercy, he wants to give you life and keep giving you life. And he wants to give your neighbor's life and your coworker's life. And God, in his mercy, he does what he wants. He brings people into the church, into the waters of baptism to give them mercy because he wants to. Mercy that they do not deserve. Mercy that Christ's death and resurrection can only give them. He takes us and he claims us and he makes us children of God. He claims you and he says, you are mine. I'm not letting you go. The world may look at you and say, you shouldn't be a Christian. They may look at you and say, it doesn't make sense to us. They may look at your family or where you came from, or they may look at your greatest failure and say, you can't come back from this. But God claims you, gives you life, gives you forgiveness, and he says, you are now mine. Paul's heart is breaking because he knows the beautiful, the merciful heart of God. But he also knows that there's this stuff, this pride and rejection in the heart of his brothers in Jerusalem that's getting in the way of them receiving the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he has come to redeem all things. When God does what he wants, our history, our successes, our failures, our greatest achievements, our greatest regrets, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, or whether we're American or European, or whatever good works we might have done in our lives, or what things we might be proud of, all of that is irrelevant because faith is not something that is earned or deserved. It is only a gift. And without faith, we do not have life, for by grace, through faith, we are saved. You guys know that text. Faith is a free gift from a loving God that wants all people to know, love, and follow Christ. The Apostle Paul says this to Timothy and to the church. He says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this, I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. So what do we do in light of a God that does what he wants? Well, the first thing we do is we give thanks. We give thanks to a merciful God that loves us. Scripture is clear that there's nothing in us that makes us deserving of his love and his mercy. Again, faith is a gift through Jesus Christ, but it was the Father's will that we would be saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Jesus was obedient to his Father's will. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can hear the good news and believe it. The Holy Spirit works faith and continually works faith into us through the Word of God. What we believe, us in this room, what we believe is foolishness to the world. But we have tasted and we have seen the truth. We know that Jesus really did rise from the grave victorious on Easter Sunday. Amen. We give thanks because we have experienced this beautiful heart of God that claims us, that loves us, that gives us life. The second thing we do is like the Apostle Paul, we pray for those who do not know Christ. Maybe you today are in anguish like the Apostle Paul. Maybe someone very close to you has always rejected the gospel. Maybe your son, maybe your daughter, your spouse, or grandchild, or best friend have walked away from the faith. If that's you, your heart is aligned with Paul's as he writes to the Romans, and your heart is aligned with God and his desire to save. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 1, I don't have this on the screen, I apologize, but he says this, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Let that prayer also be our prayer. Keep praying, church. Keep praying and call on the Holy Spirit to comfort you and call on the people around you, the people of this church, to pray with you as you pray. And as Jesus says in Matthew 5, those who mourn, they will be comforted. God listens to the prayers of his people, and we pray that all those who have hardened their hearts against Christ would experience the truth and believe it and have true life. The third thing we do is we rejoice in the good news. We give thanks, we pray, and we rejoice. And here's the cool thing about rejoicing. When we rejoice, we share. When we rejoice, we share. It's natural. With hearts of thanksgiving and recognizing the beautiful heart of God, we can rejoice in his goodness and rejoice that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's so many voices in the world right now saying that this is the way, this is the truth, and this is the way that you're going to experience life. But we know in this room that the only way, truth, and life is Christ. And when we rejoice, we can't help but tell people. Tell people what God has done. Tell anyone who will hear. Tell, get the word out. Tell your neighbors, your kids, your coworkers, anyone you know what God has done in your life this week. Tell them about his merciful, his loving heart, and that God does what he wants, and he wants them to know his love. That God wants to redeem them and show them how to live in truth. I love the image, the story of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, where she speaks to Jesus at the well, and Jesus reveals himself to her to be the promised Messiah, the Christ. And she gets so excited, she runs into town and tells everyone about what Jesus did. And she says, "Could this be the Christ? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for?" And because of her testimony of Jesus, they invite Jesus into their town and they invite Jesus to teach them. And it says, many more believed because of his word. And they tell the woman this in John chapter 4. It says, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." We need to get the word out, which means that the word of God needs to be in our minds and in our hearts and on our lips, to be a word of hope where there is hopelessness, to be a voice of comfort when there is pain, to share the truth of Christ where people are walking in the dark and lost. And there are a lot of people in this world walking in the dark and who are lost. God does what he wants, and he wants to do amazing things through you, through your family, through this church. And we can live in that tension that God may do things differently than us, but we know his heart, the beautiful heart of the Lord that longs to save those who are lost, and we can join him in that mission. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone who came to church today. I thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. I pray that the word would be on our lips, so when the opportunity arises to share a word of God, share words, your words of hope to the world, that we would take it and that we would speak. Lord, be with us, guide us, lead us as we go out into the world and share your truth and share your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.